triple threat from that from the order is in up PM on Tuesday, March 9th, 2021, in Davis from 106. Members present are Mayor Representative Rock, and joining us on Microsoft Teams, Representative Martinez, and Representative Fields, and also Mayor myself, Representative Zelpas Vichar. For the record, we're coming to the court to conduct business. For those who arrive, please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. And those attending remotely, please mute yourself if you are not speaking. Thank you. Before we begin, I would like to thank Dean Vanner, the House Tribal Affairs Secretary, for representing us, Amy Friendly, Jimmy Wallen, for staffing the committee today. Today, we will be having a hearing on HB 10 by Representative Hannah, relating to the Finter Bay, Running Park, and Mountains Up Cemetery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Sarah Hannon, and I represent House District 33 here in Northern Southeast. I live here in June and represent all sort of communities for Kwan Haines, Gagway, Post Davis. And it happens to land on the northern tip of Admiralty Island, where the Sonoban Territory is. To some of you, this will raise a little bit of memory because House Bill 10 in the 31st legislature was House Bill 122 that passed the House in the spring of 2019, made it through the Senate, made it through both Senate committees of referral, and was awaiting scheduling between Senate finance and last March. We took a recess, and House Bill 122 was like a great production bill back in committee. What House Bill 10 does is move about 250 acres of state land between divisions. The land is currently part of the division of land, water, minerals into the division of parks. The parcel then is surrounded by an existing state marine park that has existed for under 30 years. The land in question, the land in this bill, would be transferred, but really the management of it wouldn't change because it has been managed for recreation for a long period of time, and the new state park is only going to address questions about that. The question of why now, why should we, what is unique about this parcel of land, is the site of the cemetery adjacent to what was a relocation camp in World War II. After the bombing of Dutch Harbor in 1942, the U.S. military relocated left in the spring of the Russian Peninsula and the Kuril Islands to six different relocation sites in southeast Alaska. The site in Thunder Bay, the second site in Thunder Bay, actually served two of the relocation camps that were located in Thunder Bay, one at the site of an abandoned cannery. And at the time of the Sonoban people from St. Paul being relocated there, it had already been abandoned for over a decade. And one of the reasons was that the cannery site had very poor water, and canneries need water. Across the bay was an abandoned mine, and that was the second relocation camp in Thunder Bay. The additional camp was located in Charleston, near Angoon, from the south on Admiralty Island. There was a camp in Ward Cove, Ward Lake in Dutch Camp, that had been an existing Canadian Conservation Corps camp. There was people relocated to Wrangell and the Wrangell Institute, and then across from Wrangell, Burnett Inlet. As it turns out, Thunder Bay was the largest concentration. It was all the folks from the Primalas, about 480. And it was a total of Alaskan people were relocated over 800 through Southeast. It became clear within days that the site of the relocation camp in Thunder Bay was fully inadequate to safely house people or provide for them. And we had a very high death rate. There were babies born, most of them did not survive. It was a hard environment for the people of the Primalas to hunt and fish and gather in, compounded by the fact that the men of the camp were four first each of summers, the gathering season of salmon and deer, to return to the Paradise Island. They still had seal from the U.S. government at that point in time, a seal hunt. So in the summers when you might be gathering to provide for your family, the men were not available. The camps remained older folks, children, and women. We always know the cemetery was there. The Lumbee people have not with great regularity, but have always marked and maintained. Now that the graves were there, Portugal is close to the north, 15 miles, but this is the only severe passage of water to be around the north until the Magnitude Island. But it was not a location where the community of Juno could serve itself. So in the case of Bermuda Island, directly across from Wrangell, medical attention to be sought in the town of Wrangell, and kids could be sent into schools. Wrangell remained a warm place for people to survive. But at the end of the war, the people of St. Paul and St. George were forbidden from returning home for an additional 18 months post-war, when opportunities could be returned to. And partly, it was because there were communities held in destroyed by the U.S. military to prevent the Japanese, if they invaded, from being able to use the flood sites as reinforced compounds. About a decade ago, the cemetery was located in closer further down along Bingham, which is on private property. The private property that's on changed hands, and the family that now owned the labs that that cemetery was on, forbid survivors and their descendants from visiting the grave sites of their family buried there. And that sort of activated the Lumbees whose family remains are in Thunder Bay to seek secure and permanent access to their family's cemetery. So the movement to preserve the Lumbee Cemetery in Thunder Bay has been a long time coming, and it just happened to come to me when I was newly elected as an idea, and asked if we would pursue preserving it. The goal is to make sure that the family always had access to it. It is a, the St. Marie Park in Thunder Bay is an undeveloped park. There are no bar houses, there are no picnic tables. There's no management cost to go. This bill has a zero fiscal note. And it's not anticipated there will be any additional costs to the state. But there is a group called the Friends of Appleton Island that's been very organized in this that plans to put some signage up to explain what these grave sites there are now. About 25 years ago, we happened to know the history of it and was there on at Anchorage, we're going to share, and we stumbled through the woods and found the sites of the graves. And their explanation, they're simply going to put a sign explaining what these remains are from so that others would encounter them. There are a number of coining land that's surrounded by national monument behind it, private property in front of it, adjacent to it, and all of those land rights remain. This does not impact any of the private property of landholders. Supported by the vast majority of private property landowners in Thunder Bay, and you will hear from some of them on Thursday. It does not impact the federal land, and like I said, the state parks can speak to that are committed to the idea that it really doesn't change their law of Thunder Bay, it does change the legal status and binds it into the state right by the exists. I could go on with a little bit about the history of the relocation council in Alaska, but three of the members here have already heard that, and Mr. Carl probably is not going to have a little World War II lecture in Alaska history. So, with that, I do have a conflict with the Department of Corrections Subcommittee meeting, and my chief of staff, Tim Clark, is here to walk you through a PowerPoint on the cemetery, and I'm going to just across the hall, so if there are any questions that I would need to address, to be certainly, I would reach out to the committee to hear it.
Thank you, Representative. Do you have time for questions?
I do, absolutely.
I do want to give an opportunity to committee members
can get a detailed map of what's currently in the world, what's going on, and I have like paragraph title on there, but it really doesn't satisfy what I really want to see. I don't know a lot about it, and so I would love to see a very detailed map of what's currently in the middle part, and how much it has. You're adding more than twice as much as what is currently in that part. So you have 162 acres, and you're asking to add 250 more acres. So this is the first thing to do. I'm not really sure about it. So I'm not even going to have to add pressure as many details of what's there and what you're doing, you know, what you're asking to add.
I have to add, actually, there's a map, a little packet that shows the existing portions of the DO1 and the DO2, as you can see on the map. But I think it's actually better for the state parks to address that detail. The land regarding is sort of bound in between the existing state parks, and it was when the idea of taking the cemetery came about and selecting the land, Department of Natural Resources and putting the whole remaining parcel over. So that we don't have two management plans, two management overseers for what would become a small sliver of division water land management in between three other parcels of state parks management. If that has to be done, then the surveying has to be done and the cost. And their conclusion to us was we already manage it as if it's part of the state parks. We pursued timber. Commercial mining and in the area of the state parks, there's sliver broadly that has a point behind that has never been shown a commercial interest in the parcel. That's no solution, filling parks and division of water and land, so they can provide that.
And one of the committees has hired some individuals to testify this morning for state parks. See that
that's very hard. But the end of my fingers.
Thank you.
If committee members would like to submit a propose to my next guest, so can I admit them to my office by 3 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, March 10th? The time is 8:26 p.m. in this room of the House Room of